Chapter 1. It was a quiet afternoon in the San Francisco Police Department's Detective Division. Most of the other detectives were simply pushing some of their paperwork around, waiting for their shift to end. But not Mitch Latham, who was getting ready to retire in 6 months and had something important weighing on his mind. He took one last look at the file in his hand, the file documenting the death of one Bernard Spitzer. His chair creaked as he leaned back and reacquainted himself with the file one last time before deciding whether to put it in the large cardboard box labeled Cold Case Storage. Bernard, Bernie Spitzer, was 83 when he died. According to the coroner, he died from natural causes, since no signs of injury or trauma were found on his body. Often the next of kin requested that an autopsy be performed. But in this case, given his age and the fact there had been a number of homicides on the night the octogenarian died, his next of kin, as well as the law enforcement authorities, decided an autopsy was not necessary. Something about Bernie's death made an alarm bell go off in the back of Mitch's mind, but he couldn't come up with any reason why. He doubted if Bernie had simply died from old age. What bothered the detective was that Bernard Spitzer was a San Francisco legend, a multimillionaire, and whenever a man that wealthy died, red flags went up. But so far, he'd found nothing to justify them. Instead, he had an octogenarian who had made a fortune as the founder of Spitzer Electronics, a company that 20 years ago had successfully fought off a hostile takeover by a corporate raider. Bernie had sold the company 9 years ago to a Wall Street hedge fund for $300 million. He'd kept a minority interest in the company, which paid him $20 million a year. The money alone could have been a motive for murder if he had, in fact, been murdered. But so far, there was not one shred of evidence pointing to his death being a homicide. Mitch kept reading, envious that a man of Bernie's age lived in the penthouse of one of the most expensive condominium projects in the city. After Bernie's death, Mitch had visited the penthouse and had personally seen the 5,000 bottle wine collection Bernie had amassed over the years, which occupied all of the floor below the penthouse. It was equipped with automatic temperature controls to keep the various types of wine at just the right temperature. To a detective with the San Francisco Police Department, it was an unbelievable display of wealth, and put Mitch's wine rack containing a couple of bottles of Sauvignon Blanc and a Chateau Neuf de Pape to shame. According to the file, and from the conversation he had with Bernie's two adult children, Larry and Joni, Bernie had been widowed for the last 25 years and had enjoyed the company of a number of different women during that time. Evidently, in recent years, he had been seeing one woman exclusively, a woman named Michelle D'Amato. Larry and Joni didn't like her very much, but she seemed to take good care of their father, so they had grudgingly come to accept her, since they really had no choice. Neither one of them was particularly close to their father and seemed happy to have any responsibility for him taken out of their hands. "Mitch, time to give it up," his partner Austin Gray said as he returned to the small room they shared, a cup of coffee in each hand. He handed Mitch one of the cups, spilling it as he did so. "That Spitzer case was dead on arrival when it got here. Actually, it never was a case, just an old geezer who bit the dust.